إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our first session where we will be reading from the essay of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, entitled Minhaj Ahlis Sunnah wal Jama'ah fil Aqeedah wal Amal. Minhaj Ahlis Sunnah wal Jama'ah fil Aqeedati wal Amali. And this essay was actually originally a lecture that the Shaykh rahimahullah had given many years ago. And it is, as we will see, a summary, a very brief summary of the aqeedah, the perspective, the manhaj of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah in reference to aqeedah, the creed or the belief system, and in reference to the ibadah, the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how we approach the deen. Tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to take the introduction that the Shaykh has given to this essay. And before that, we're going to look just briefly at his biography. We did send by email to those who are registered with the class, we had sent out a brief biography of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. And I'm not going to read the biography completely because we just recently completed a course from the writings of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, and we talked about his biography in the beginning of that course just a couple of months ago. And we have done many books by Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, and we always mention his biography in the beginning, so I'm just going to summarize a little bit of it, and you can read more detailed biographies from other sources which are available. Okay, so first I'm going to begin with the biography of the Imam, the author of this book. He is Al-Allama, Al-Faqih, scholar of fiqh, Abu Abdullah, Muhammad ibn Salih, ibn Muhammad, ibn Al-Uthaymeen, Al-Tamimi, Al-Najdi, rahimahullah. He was born in the city of Unayza, which is in the region of Qasim in Saudi Arabia, on the 27th of Ramadan in the year 1347 of the Hijra, in a famous religious family. From amongst his most prominent teachers, and he had many, is the Sheikh Sheikh Abdurrahman As-Sa'di, Sheikh Abdurrahman ibn Nasser As-Sa'di, and the Imam of our era, Imam Abdulaziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz, rahimahullah, and the great Imam and scholar of Tafsir of this era, Al-Imam Muhammad Amin Al-Shanqiti, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasiya. The biography also mentions something about his teaching style and his manner of giving fatawa, and his work, his occupation or duties that he had as a professor of Usuluddin at the Sharia faculty of Jamiat al-Imam Muhammad ibn Saud al-Islamiyya in Qasim. He was also a member of the Council of Senior Scholars of Saudi Arabia, and he was the Imam al-Khatib of the Masjid al-Jamiat in the city of Unayza. From amongst his well-known works, I don't think we need to mention them. There is books in Aqeedah, especially Tafsir, Hadith, Fiqh. They are all well-known. From amongst the most important of those books is his explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed, because it's one of the most important books that have been written in this modern era. And from the classical books of the past, one of his most important books is his explanation of Aqeedah Wasatiyah, and I'll suffice with this. Finally, in the end, we mentioned that Imam Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah was famous for his simplicity and modesty. And these are characteristics that are from the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. that every one of us should try, strive to emulate. Simplicity and modesty, along with exemplary manners with everyone he encountered. Exemplary manners with everyone that he encountered, young and old, rich and poor, influential or unknown. Yani he was the same with all the people, except that of course, yani those people who deserved yani respect and honor, yani in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he certainly showed respect and honor for them. He passed away on the 15th of Shawwal in the year 2001, at the age of 74, was buried in Mecca. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon him. This is a summary of the biography of the Shaykh, and I don't want to close this summary of his biography without mentioning a story from his life that I found very interesting. This is a book that I'm not really sure about the original of it, what it was translated from, but there were many books written at the time of the death of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, many books written about his life. And I think they have collected yani some of those stories from various books, Allahu A'lam, about his life and the life of Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz and Imam Muhammad Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahumullah. In any case, this story is a somewhat lengthy story, and I don't want to take a lot of time with it, but I'm going to summarize some of it and just read a little bit of it. It's the story that is entitled, yani the book is Jewels of Guidance. Jewels of Guidance, Volume 1, and it's entitled Helping the Wayfarer. The story is narrated by Ihsan ibn Muhammad al-Utaybi, and this story illustrates to us how the Imam, Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, yani dealt with all the people with kindness, with respect, with love and consideration. He dealt with all people, whoever they were, even if they were yani people who didn't yani have honor or respect amongst the generality of the people. He says that some youth traveled by car from Jordan for Umrah. They were traveling from Jordan to Saudi Arabia to Mecca to perform Umrah. And in Khaybar, they had an accident whereby they hit a lamppost. Yani, the vehicle that they were in ran into a lamppost, a light pole, and destroyed it. The police were quick to arrive at the scene, and the scene of the accident, and demanded the driver pay for the damage to the lamppost, which estimated to be at a cost of 21,000 Saudi riyals. Now 21,000 Saudi riyals is about 6,000. Yeah, maybe it could be 7.5, something like that. $6,000-$7,000, mashallah. Neither the driver nor the young people that were in his vehicle could afford to pay such an amount. Therefore the police confiscated the passport of the driver until such time they could arrange for payment on their return from having performed Umrah. The students were overwhelmed by this affair and began thinking of a way to get hold of such an amount. There is no way before them except that they present their case to some of the scholars. So one of them traveled to meet Shaykh al-Uthaymeen in his room in al-Masjid al-Haram in Mecca after the Asr prayer. Yani the Shaykh used to have a room, a special room or office at the sacred Masjid in Mecca. Whenever he was there, he would use that room yani to receive people or whatever. So one of them traveled and they went to meet the Shaykh, explained to the Shaykh what their situation was. The Shaykh said, "Come back tomorrow and inshallah all will be well." Come back tomorrow. Yani he doesn't have 21,000 riyals in his pocket. He said, "Come back tomorrow, I'll get it for you, inshallah." Here's a stranger that you don't know from anywhere. You don't even know if it's true what he's telling you. But he's saying, "We had this accident, the driver's passport is confiscated, and we're stuck. And we came from another country. Can you help us?" He said, "No problem. Come back tomorrow, all will be well." However, the youth did not return to the Shaykh the following day because he knew how large the amount of money was. And he didn't know that the Shaykh actually dealt with such matters, yani that he would just give people money who were in trouble. So the youth returned back to his friends who held him in Khaybar, believing that he had carried out their, and they were believing that he had carried out their request to at least have talked with the Shaykh. The youth then decided to return back to Jordan after they had completed their journey, but they had to pass by the checkpoint in Khaybar to collect the driver's passport, hoping that Allah has softened the hearts and that they may overlook payment for the damage that had been caused. When the youth entered the office, the inspector, yani the chief of the police there, demanded payment in full for the damage or no travel. However, if they really wished to travel, they could do so, yani the young people, the passengers, without the driver. The driver wasn't going anywhere until the money was paid. The youth and the driver became worried. What were they to do? They all turned to the youth who had met with Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen and said to him, did you go to see the Sheikh? What did he say to you? He said, he told me come back tomorrow. They said, did you go back to him? He said, no. They said, call him now, and maybe Allah will open a way for us at his hands, yani by the permission of Allah at the hands of the Sheikh, as we are held up here far from our families and we are in the final days of Ramadan. The youth called the Sheikh in his room, and he, that is Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, responded. The youth explained the situation. The Sheikh said, are you the Jordanian youth? He said, yes, O Sheikh. The Sheikh said, did I not tell you to come back tomorrow? Why did you not come? He said, I became shy. And he was shy to go back to the Sheikh, asking for this money, yani in this kind of situation. The Sheikh said, then why did you come to me in the first place? In any case, the amount was ready the same day. Yani the Sheikh had collected the money for them, and all he had to do was come back the next day, and it would have been ended. The youth could not believe the news. They were all elated. They said, how do we proceed, Sheikh? I mean, what do we do now? He said, I shall transfer the funds to the center, yani the police station where they were held up, and ask them to make your affairs easy and permit you to return to your families before the day of Eid, yani Eid al-Fitr. So the Sheikh spoke to the inspector, saying, I have the funds, so give me the account number, and I will transfer them out to you, and let these young people and their driver go to their families. The inspector responded disrespectfully, saying, I'm sorry, O Sheikh, but it is imperative. We have to have the funds here in cash. Otherwise, they will not be allowed to travel and return to their families. There are all kinds of people in the world, but Allah has power over everything. Remember that. The Sheikh became angered by the inspector and said to him, I say to you, the funds are with me. Just allow them to go to their families. But again, the inspector refused. The Sheikh put the phone down, and moments later, the entire office was turned upside down. The governor of Medina, yani the ruler of that land, Prince Abdul Majid ibn Abdul Aziz, was on the phone asking for the inspector who had refused the request of Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, and he began to threaten him with disciplinary action. The inspector's colleagues tried hard to cover for him. The youth just stood there, staring at them, noticing how their tone had changed from disrespect to that of respect. The prince ordered them to release the youth and their driver immediately and have the lamppost repaired at the expense of the state. No one could imagine the extent of the youth's happiness at such news. They thanked the Sheikh for his efforts and his stance towards them. And there, raising their voices, rising with supplications for the Sheikh and their thanks to the prince for his respect towards the scholars and appreciation of their rank and position. All this in a situation none of them will ever forget as long as they live. And the point I want to make from this story is the Sheikh, how he dealt with these people who he didn't know from anywhere. And secondly, how some of the rulers in the Muslim lands have respect for scholars. Naam, to that extent, that the ruler, the governor of the state in that area, called the police station himself and told them, let these people go. Upon what? Upon the request of the Sheikh, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. I mention this story because it is from amongst the many stories that yani help us to understand the magnitude of the station and the status of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, and how the people who had intellect, who had understanding and had iman, had respect for him personally and for the scholars of the Sunnah in general. With that being said, we're going to go to the first page. We're going to read from the Arabic, from the first page of the Arabic book, text of the book for this essay. We're just going to read a little bit of it, starting from the first page and maybe the second page. And in English, where we're going to begin is with the Sheikh's introduction, which is on page 8 in the English translation of the book on page 8, and we're going to try to read until the top of page 12. So we're going to start in English on page 8, in Arabic on page 1. Okay, the Sheikh begins, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yani this essay again is entitled Minhaj Ahl Sunnah, yani the methodology of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'a fil Aqeedah wal Amal, yani as it relates to or concerning the aqidah, the belief system, the creed, and the actions of the people, the ibadah, the worship, and the methodology of how Muslims practice Islam, the station, the rights of the Prophet, the Sahaba, the Imams, and so on. The Shaykh begins, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah, نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. يعني praising Allah سبحانه وتعالى, seeking help from Him, seeking forgiveness from Him, turning to Him repentance, and seeking refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and from the evil of our deeds. The Shaykh proceeds, من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يعني whoever Allah guides, no one can lead him astray. يعني this is a statement from our Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, from the خطبة الحاجة, in which he declares categorically, unequivocally, that whoever Allah guides, no one can lead them astray. يعني if Allah guides you, no one can lead you astray. Guidance is from Allah alone. Whoever Allah guides, no one can lead them astray. And whoever Allah leads astray because of their rejection of the truth, whoever Allah leads astray because they turned away from the truth, then there's no one that can guide them. This is also important for us to know. Yani, it's our obligation to call people to Islam. However, the guidance, the control of the hearts of the people is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh begins, continues, and I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is His abd and His rasul, and His worshipper and His messenger. And then the Shaykh says, in reference to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, أَرَسَلَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بَيْنَ يَدَيَ السَّاعَةِ, that Allah has sent him, the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before the coming, the establishment of the hour of judgment. بشيرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه سراجا منيرا. Allah has sent him before the establishment of hour as one who is giving good news, yani for the believers to do good deeds, of the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one who came as a warner against the people who disbelieve and disobey Allah of the punishment of Allah in the hellfire. وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه, and a caller to Allah, not calling to himself, to his jama'ah, calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His permission, sirajan munira, yani a lamp and a light, yani that is a means of guidance. فَبَلَغَ الرِّسَالَةَ وَأَدَّى الْأَمَانَةَ وَنَصَحَ الْأُمَّةَ وَجَاهَدَ فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ فَصَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ وَسَلَامُهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ وَمَنْ تَبَعَهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ إِلَى يَوْمِ الدِّينِ أَمَا بَعْدُ. Yani then the Shaykh, he closes this introduction by saying, فَبَلَغَ الرِّسَالَةَ, yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent by Allah, yani as a bashir and nadir and a da'i, and he delivered the message, وَأَدَّى الْأَمَانَةَ, and he fulfilled the trust that was given to him to deliver this message. وَنَصَحَ الْأُمَّةَ, and he has advised, sincere advice to this ummah, and he strove in the way of Allah, in the way that Allah deserves, yani striving, struggling to establish the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may the salat and the salam of Allah be upon him and upon his family, the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and upon his companions, yani those who believed in him in his time, in his lifetime, who met him and followed him, and whoever follows them in ihsan, whoever follows them, yani who strictly tries to follow their way until the day of judgment, yani even until today, the people who follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, then may the salat and salam be upon them as well. After this, the Shaykh says, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَقُولُ, that Allah the Most High says, and in Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 1st Ayat, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اِتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَّفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. Yani, O mankind, observe taqwa of your Rabb. Observe taqwa of your Rabb, the one who created you from a single soul, and who created from that single soul its mate, yani its zawj. وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. And then he has spread out, yani through the earth, from the two of them, from the first man and the first woman, Adam alayhi salam and Hawa, many men and women spread throughout the earth. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. And observe taqwa of Allah, the one through whom you ask, you demand your mutual rights, and do not cut off the wombs, yani the ties of blood relations. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a raqib, a watcher over you. This ayat is full of many, many points. The most important of them, wallahu a'lam, is the command that is repeated in this ayat to observe taqwa of Allah, to observe taqwa of your Rabb who created you from a single soul. After this, the Shaykh mentions from Surah Al-Ahzab, 33rd Surah, 70th ayat and 71st ayat, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. And by the way, in the Arabic text of this book, there are some printing mistakes, and one of them came in this ayat. The word sadida is missing. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. All you who believe, yani this ayat, contrary to the first ayat which is addressed to mankind, all of the humanity, this ayat is addressed to the believers. All you believe, ittaqullah, yani observe taqwa of Allah, that is, fulfill His commands and avoid His prohibitions. وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا, and speak a word, الْقَوْل سَدِيدًا, that's straight, that's right, that's correct, that's true, speak the truth. And if you do so, if you observe taqwa of Allah, yani the people of Iman, if you observe taqwa of Allah, and you are truthful in your speech, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ, then He will rectify for you your deeds. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, and He will forgive for you your sins. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. And whoever is obedient to Allah and His Messenger, and indeed, that person has already achieved a tremendous, magnificent, great success. That is, al-najat min al-nar wa al-dukhul al-jannah. Yani the people, whoever is obedient to Allah and His Messenger, then they will be saved from the hellfire. At least al-khulud fihi, la shakka fihi. And they will be admitted into al-jannah. After this, the Shaykh begins. After the introductory comments, he begins by saying, yani, what is intended by this expression in the title of this book, Minhaj Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, fil Aqeedah wal Amal? What? Al Murad bi Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, wa Bayan, and again, there's a printing mistake here, it says Tatbiqihim, it should be wa Bayan Tariqihim, Bayan Tariqihim. Yani, what is intended by the expression Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and clarification of their Tariq, clarification of their Tariq. And this book has been printed several times, and unfortunately, it's my shortcoming that I didn't read the entire text of it before we selected it. Because there are other printings of the book, and probably all of them might have some mistakes, but in any case, there are a few critical places here where there are printing mistakes in the Arabic text. What is intended by the expression Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and clarification of their tariqah, their tariq, their manhaj, their way, their path, their methodology. Clarification of their manhaj, their tariq. The Shaykh, he says, and here, before I read this, I just want to say that this expression, Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, is an expression that the scholars of the Sunnah today in this time and in the past used to represent, identify the people of truth, the people who are practicing Islam as it was conveyed by our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in its pure essence, Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And today there may be so many names that may refer to the people of truth, including what you want to say? What words do we use today? Salafi. What else? Ahl al-Hadith in some countries, especially like in India and Pakistan, in the subcontinent, Ahl al-Hadith. And there are other expressions, Ahl al-Ittiba'. Of course, from the Sunnah, the expression came, Al-Ta'ifa, Al-Mansura, Al-Furqa, Al-Najiya. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah discusses some of these terms and explains them in great detail in his book, Al-Aqidah al-Wasatiyah. But for now, let us suffice with this expression, Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and how the Shaykh simply explains what it means. Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, hum alladhina hadahum Allah ta'ala لما اختلف فيه من الحق بإذنه والله يهدي من يشاء إلى صراط مستقيم. يعني إذا أهل السنة والجماعة, the people of Sunnah and the people of Jama'ah, يعني who unite together, gather together as a group, الاجتماع, يعني الجماعة means اجتماع, the people who join together, as opposed to افتراق, the people who separate from one another. The people of Sunnah and Jama'ah, هم الذين هداهم الله تعالى لما اختلف فيه من الحق بإذنه. They are those whom Allah has, the Most High has guided to the truth of that in which the people differed بإذنه, by His permission. Yani the people differed, as we find today, the people are differing, the people in general differing, Muslims differing with one another, and there are some people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has guided to the truth about that which the people differed in. This is the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the people who have been guided to the truth. So, yani the thing that comes to my mind now is that, is it sufficient to claim to be Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, or to claim to be Ahl Hadith, or to claim to be Salafi, if you are not upon that which is the truth concerning that which the people differ about? Yani how do you, yani imagine that you deserve to be addressed with this title or this description when you are not upon that? How can you be sure that you are upon that unless you have studied, unless you have read the Quran, read the tafsir, studied the hadith, read the books of the scholars of Sunnah, so that you know what is true in the affairs about which the people differed? Concerning qadha wal qadha, concerning iman, concerning yani the issues that the people differ about, concerning the sahaba, yani how do you know that you are from those people that Allah has guided to the truth concerning those affairs about which the people differed? Only by knowledge. By knowledge, yani by seeking knowledge with ikhlas, sincerity for the sake of Allah, for the purpose, seeking knowledge for the purpose of yani knowing that which is pleasing to Allah, and asking Allah to guide you to act upon that which you know. The Shaykh said, who is Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah? Hum alladhina hadahum Allah. Allah has guided them to that about which, to the truth of that which the people differed concerning. Wallahu yahdi man yasha ila siratul mustaqim. And Allah, He guides whomever He wills to a straight path. Allah, He guides whomever He wills. Not whoever we will, but whomever He wills. And He guides the people who sincerely seek guidance. And He leads astray the people who are not sincere. Naam, who reject the truth when it comes to them. Yani when the people differed and the proofs came, and some people remain upon their position even when it became clear that they are wrong. Naam. Sometimes that happened to us individually. Sometimes it happened to us collectively. Our group stuck on their position that was wrong. Or individually, any one of us stuck to our position that was wrong after it became clear to us, out of pride or arrogance. Or who is the one who brought it to you? And he's not one of those people that I really respect. He's not considered to be one of the flag bearers. But the truth is the truth. And Allah, He guides to the straight path whomever He wills, not whoever you will. And I want us not just to read this book. Everybody can read it by yourself, but I want us to reflect, to think about what the Shaykh is saying. These are the words of one of the greatest scholars of the people of Sunnah in this time, in this era. And when he's writing or when he's speaking, he knows what he's saying, and he's careful about what he says and the way that he says it and the choice of words. Not like some of us, we're reckless with what we say, and we sometimes don't pay attention to what we say. And sometimes we say things that we really don't know. And we speak about Allah without knowledge, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, along with yani making, associating something with Allah without any authority. That is, that you speak about Allah about that which you don't know. So the Shaykh, he says, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they are those whom Allah has guided to the truth concerning the affairs that the people differ in, and Allah guides whomever He wills to a straight path. وَكُلُّنَا نَعْلَمْ أَنَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بُعِثَ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ. الْهُدَى الَّذِي لَيْسَ فِيهِ دَلَالَةٌ وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ الَّذِي لَيْسَ fihi riwayatun. I'm saying fihi because in the book it has fi, and this is also a printing mistake. Fihi. Yani all of us, we know for sure, with certainty, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has been missioned with the huda and the deen al-haq. We know this for a fact. If we know that he is the one who has been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the huda, with the guidance, and the deen al-haq, the true deen, then what is there left except for us to follow him alone, to the exclusion of whoever else came with something different, whoever they might be. Yani the salvation and the success is in following the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exclusively. All of us, we know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been missioned bil huda wa deen al-haq. Al-huda alladhi laysa fihi dalala. Yani the huda which doesn't contain in it any dalala, misguidance. Doesn't contain in it. This guidance that he came with doesn't contain anything of misguidance in it. It's complete, yani pure guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَدِينَ الْحَقِّ الَّذِي لَيْسَ فِي غِوَايَ. And the deen al-haq, the true deen, which doesn't contain within it any crookedness. Any crookedness. Yani is straight. Siratun mustaqeem. Straight path. And in another place, in Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah's explanation of Aqeedah Wasatiyah, he said, يعني الهدى هو العلم النافع والدين الحق هو العمل الصالح. Listen to this, very important. الهدى ودين الحق. يعني الله سبحانه وتعالى هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق. What is the هدى? العمل الصالح. I mean العلم النافع. And the دين الحق is عمل الصالح. What are these two things? يعني beneficial knowledge, right knowledge, and correct righteous actions. And again, this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used this expression in the Quran in more than one place. Al-huda wa deen al-haq. Making us to know, and many of the scholars of tafsir explained it as the Shaykh explained it, making us to know that these are two critical elements that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been sent with, that we must yani have both of them, not one to the exclusion of the other. The first of them is the beneficial knowledge. Al-ilm and nafiyah. Beneficial knowledge. Correct, right knowledge. And the second of them is amal as-salih. Yani it's not sufficient to accumulate information, even if it's correct, if you don't act upon it. There has to be correct knowledge, and there has to be righteous actions coupled together. This is what our Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been sent with. Yani the right beneficial knowledge that doesn't contain any misguidance, and the righteous actions that doesn't contain within them any crookedness. This is what our Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent with. وَبَقِيَ النَّاسُ فِي أَهْدِهِ عَلَى هَذَا الْمِنْهَاجِ السَّلِيمِ الْقَوِيمِ وَكَذَلِكَ عَامَتْ زَمَنْ خُلَفَائِهَا الرَّاشِدِينَ وَلَكِنَ الْأُمَّةِ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ تَفَرَّقَتْ تَفَرُّقًا عَظِيمًا مُتَبَايِنًا حَتَّى كَانُوا عَلَى 73 فِرْقَةً كلها في النار إلا واحدة وهي ما كان عليه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه وبهذا نقول إن هذه الفرقة هي فرقة أهل السنة والجماعة. يعني the Shaykh says here that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم was sent with الهدى ودين الحق, and the people in his era, in his lifetime, remained upon this right guidance and this دين الحق, correct righteous behavior. The people remained upon that in his lifetime. This manhaj, as-salim al-qawim, yani this sound, upright methodology, road, path, tariqah. Huh? The people remained upon that in the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَكَذَلِكَ عَامَةَ زَمَنِي خُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ. Yani here, this is an important point, عَامَةَ زَمَن. Yani here, the Shaykh is saying, the general period of time of the Khulafa al-Rashidin. Not absolutely, but generally, the people in the time of the Khulafa al-Rashidin remained upon this Huda and Deen al-Haq. That means that great deviation didn't occur in the time of the Khulafa al-Rashidin, but something did occur. Naam, something did occur. So the Shaykh is saying here what? He's distinguishing between the era of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his lifetime, and the era of the Khulafa al-Rashidin, and then what came after that. In the era of the Prophet ﷺ, the people remained purely upon yani al-huda wa deen al-haq. And in the general period of time of the Khulafa al-Rashidin, the people also remained upon al-huda wa deen al-haq, even though yani some deviation began to spring up, yani the khawarij and the rafida and this kind of thing. Naam. And in the lifetime of Khulafa ar-Rashidin, the Prophet ﷺ came with the huda wa deen al-haq, and the people remained upon it in his lifetime, and generally they remained upon it for the years that came after that, in the time of Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhum ajma'in. The people remained upon this. وَلَكِنْ الْأُمَّةَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ تَفَرَّقَتْ. But after that, yani after the era of the Khulafa ar-Rashidin, the Ummah separated, divided, split up, a tremendous splitting, where the people became clearly distinct from one another. Yani into groups, into sects that clearly distinct one from another. Mutabayinan. Yani they were clearly distinct from one another. Hatta kanu ala 73 firqa, until it reached a point that they yani became so many sects that yani they were numbered, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions in the authentic hadith, 73 sects. Kulluha fi an-nar, all of them in the fire, illa wahida, except one. And again, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen yani mentions concerning this in Aqeedah Wasatiyah, explanation of Aqeedah Wasatiyah. I don't know if I wrote it down here, but in any case, the meaning of it is, I like to read his exact words, but I don't know if I wrote it. I may have forgot to write it. In any case, the Shaykh said, yani in the explanation of this statement, and this is from a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kulluha fi an-nar, he said, all of them, due to their beliefs, due to their actions, due to what they were upon, deserved to be in the hellfire. All of them deserved to be in the hellfire. دخول النار لا الخلود, yani not to remain in the hellfire, because these are what? Sects from the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ummah al-istijaba, yani those people who accepted Islam. Not Ummah al-da'wah, yani the people who were present in the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which include Christians and Jews and everybody else. Ummah al-da'wah, yani this is the Ummah that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to. But the people who accepted his message, we're talking about Ummah al-istijaba, yani the people who accepted the message, those are the people that would be divided into 73 sects, and all of them deserve to enter the hellfire, not to remain in it, but to enter the hellfire. Unless they went out of Islam, then they are not from the sects. And these people are kuffar. But the people who didn't fall into kufr, then they deserve to enter al-dukhul, they didn't deserve to remain in eternally al-khulud. This is how the Shaykh, rahimahullah, explained it. I wish that I could find the exact words that he expressed it in, but in any case, that's the meaning of it for sure. Naam. The Shaykh, so he says, however, after this time of the Khulafa ar-Rashidin, al-Mahdiin, Abu Bakr and Umar, Uthman and Ali, radiallahu anhum, the Ummah divided up, split up, separated, becoming clearly distinct from one another, until there were 73 clearly distinct sects, and all of them deserved to enter the hellfire, except one of them. One of them that will be saved from the hellfire. And this is what is we refer to as al-firqa an-najiyah. Al-firqa an-najiyah. The firqa that will be saved from the hellfire in the next life, and will be saved from the bid'ah in this world. Yani, they will be saved, najiyah, from bid'ah in this world, and they will be saved from an-nar in the next life. Firqa an-najiyah. Shaykh said, all of them will be in the fire except one. وَهِيَ مَا كَانَ عَلَيْهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَأَصْحَابُهُ. And that sect is the group of people who are upon the aqidah and the ibadah of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم and his companions رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. And this is also important that we remind ourselves that the Shaykh is saying here, those who are upon the way of the Prophet ﷺ and the way of his companions. And the way of his companions. Okay, so that we remind ourselves of the status and the station and the position of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in many places concerning them, from amongst them, the saying of Allah, وَمَن يُخَالِفَ الرَّسُولُ مِن بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِيَ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى ونصلحي جهنم وساعت مسيرة. يعني that whoever opposes the messenger, after the huda, the guidance became clear to them. يعني they were in error and the guidance is brought to them and they still, يعني يخالف, they oppose the way of the messenger. وَيَتَّبِيَ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ and they follow a way other than the way of the mu'mineen. And this ayat here is a clear indication that of the necessity of following the way of the mu'mineen. And the mu'mineen, yani when this ayat is revealed, is only Sahaba. Yani there was no mu'mineen except the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. So Allah is telling us clearly here, whoever opposed the way of the messenger after the evidence, the clear evidence, the guidance has been brought to them, and they follow a way other than the way of the believers, other than the way of Sahaba, then Allah will turn them to that which they turn themselves and emit them into the hellfire, and evil is it as a destination. So this is a proof to us, yani the Shaykh is clearly stating here, that we must follow the way of the Prophet ﷺ, and as well, we must look at and examine the model of the mujtama', the society in the time of the Prophet, that is, his companions, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, all of them. Now, وَمَنْ يَشَاقِكَ الرَّسُولُ I'm sorry. وَمَنْ يَشَاقِكَ الرَّسُولُ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيْنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى نعم وَيَتَّبِيَ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ زَخَ لَخَا يَا مُوسَى وَمَنْ يَشَاقِكَ الرَّسُولُ نعم. So here after this the Shaykh says يعني that they will be divided into 73 sects, all of them will be in the fire except those who are upon that which the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and his companions are upon. وَبِهَذَا نَقُولُ إِنَّ هَذِهِ الْفِرْقَةِ هِيَ فِرْقَةَ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ and in this way we say that, yani based upon this, we say that this firqa, the one that would not be in the hellfire, would not enter the hellfire, that it is the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The Shaykh says, وَهَذَا الْوَصْفِ and I know the time is getting short, وَهَذَا الْوَصْفِ لَا يَحْتَاجْ إِلَى الشَّرْحِ فِي بَيَانْ أَنَّهُمْ هُمُ الَّذِينَ عَلَى الْحَقِّ And this description, yani the description, this title, Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, this is a wasf. It's describing the group of people, that they are Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. He said, this description doesn't require a lot of explanation, sharh, in order to clarify that these people, the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, if this is a true description of them, they're really Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, then it doesn't require a lot of discussion, yani to show that they are upon the truth. لأنهم أهل السنة. Why? Because they are أهل السنة. المتمسكون بها. Who are holding fast to the sunnah. They are the people who are strictly adhering to the sunnah. And they are أهل الجماعة. المجتمعون عليها. يعني they are أهل السنة. They are people who are holding fast to the sunnah. And they are أهل الجماعة. The people who are gathering together, uniting upon the sunnah. Okay, these are two descriptions. The first one, they are the people who are what? Who are strictly adhering to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And secondly, they are also united upon the sunnah. And this is very important, that we strictly adhere to the sunnah in every affair. But not just individually, but that we also unite upon the sunnah. And this is one of the great problems, one of the great fitna of our time today. That people who claim to strictly adhere to the sunnah, but they don't unite upon the sunnah. It's incumbent upon us. The Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah unite upon the sunnah. They unite upon the sunnah. Because if you are truly upon the sunnah unites. But when we find that people can't unite, and both of them claiming to be upon the sunnah, the same aqidah, the same ibadah, the same way of the Prophet ﷺ and his companions, and they can't unite, then there's something else happening here. We need to examine ourselves. I'm not saying look at somebody else and say something about them. I'm saying we need to look at ourselves. We need to look at ourselves. Okay, don't worry about the other person. When I say don't worry, I mean I'm not saying don't be concerned, but don't be obsessed with the other person. Look at yourself and understand why is it that somebody is clearly upon the sunnah and you can't unite with them. What's the problem? There's something there. Wallahi, there's something there. The Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, yani, this description doesn't require explanation to clarify that they are the people upon the truth. Because they are Ahlul Sunnah, the people holding fast to the Sunnah. And because they are Ahlul Jama'ah, the people who are united upon the Sunnah. وَلَا يَكَادُ تَرَى طَائِفَ سَوَاهُمْ إِلَّا وَهُمْ بَعِيدُونَ عَنِ السُنَّةِ بِقَدْرِ مَا ابْتَدَعُوا. And there's a spelling mistake here also in this word. It should be ابْتَدَعُوا, not تَعَدُوا. ابْتَدَعُوا فِي الدِّينِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَلَا تَجِدُوا فِرْقَةً غَيْرَهُمْ إِلَّا وَجَدْتَهُمْ فِرْقَةً مُتَفَرِّقِينَ فِي مَا هُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ النِّحْلَةِ. Here the Shaykh, he says, after saying that the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah are upon the truth, they are the people who adhere to the Sunnah, they are the people who unite upon the Sunnah, he said you hardly see a ta'ifa, any group amongst the Muslims, other than the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the people who truly Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. I know that I've been to India before, and when I got there, the brothers told me, the people of Sunnah told me, don't say you are from Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Because in their place, in that state that I was in, they said the people who use the title Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah are the grave worshippers. Kuburiyun. They said, don't use that expression. People will misunderstand. They will think you are with them. But the people who are really upon the Sunnah, then there is no doubt that these are the people of the truth. He said, you can hardly find a group other than them, except that they are ba'idun an sunnah. Every other group is far from the Sunnah. Wallahi, look at the way the people speak. Look at what they believe. Look at how they worship. They are ba'id an sunnah. Kull bu'd. To the extent, how far are they from the Sunnah? They are ba'id, distance from the Sunnah, to the extent that they have innovated in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more they innovate, the further away they are from the Sunnah. وَلَا تَجِدُ فِرْقَةً. And you will not find any group from these sects, other than the Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah, the true Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah, except that you will find them to be a sect. مُتَفَرِّكِينَ فِي مَا هُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ النِّحْلِ. You will find them even divided amongst themselves concerning that which they are upon of their creed or their aqidah or whatever it is that they are upon. You will find them amongst themselves divided. Amongst themselves. Even though they are deviants in the same deviation, they don't agree with each other. Isn't that scary? That the Shaykh is saying that the deviated groups, whatever they are upon of false yani aqidah or false ibadah, whatever they are upon, even though they are upon the same falsehood, they are divided amongst themselves. Isn't that scary then? If we claim to be upon the Sunnah, we are divided amongst ourselves. And if the problem with them that the Shaykh is pointing out is that they are on one false aqidah and they are divided amongst themselves, then what does that say about us then? If we are upon the correct aqidah, we are divided amongst ourselves. I'm saying, let us think for a minute, okay? Let's not just read like we're reading the newspaper. It's difficult to take questions. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, even in America, Sheikh, I have seen with my own two eyes, people say, I'm Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah and be on some other stuff.
No doubt. Again, the point is though, right, that individually and collectively, me, you, your family, your neighbors, the people that you associate with, yani, we have to examine ourselves. Let's not go so far to look for the other people. But let's look at ourselves and see why, what is wrong with us. Why we are not fitting this description that we so, yani, proudly, and I didn't want to use the word proud because pride is not a good characteristic, but yani, we brag and we boast about being Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, or we boast about being Ahl Hadith, or we boast about being Salafiyun. Then we need to examine ourselves and see, are we actually worthy of this title, yani, in reality, not just on the tongue. The Shaykh said you could hardly find a group, yani, other than the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, except that even though they are upon the same falsehood, they are divided amongst themselves. Okay, here the Shaykh, I just want to look at this a minute here. Here the Shaykh, he says, وَقَدْ قَالَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى لِرَسُولِهِ. I know the time is getting close to the adhan. وَقَدْ قَالَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى لِرَسُولِهِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا لست منهم في شيء إنما أمرهم إلى الله ثم ينبيهم بما كانوا يفعلون. سورة الأنعام 659th آية. يعني the saying of Allah سبحانه وتعالى to his messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم that indeed, verily, certainly those who have divided up their deen, who have separated from one another in their deen, who have abandoned their deen, according to one of the readings of this ayat, farraku, it is also read faraku, and the meaning of it is that they divided up amongst themselves in their deen, or the second meaning is that they abandoned, they separated their deen, they separated from their deen, they gave it up. And that meaning is in reference to the people who prophets and messengers came to before them, like the Christians and Jews who have abandoned the deen that was brought to them. And the first meaning is applicable to the people who call themselves Muslims, who have separated themselves in the deen that they claim to identify with. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ, who have separated their deen, يعني split and separated themselves from one another. وَكَانُوا شِيعًا, يعني divided into sects and parties. لَسْتَ, يعني Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the Prophet, لَسْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ, you have nothing to do with them, and they have nothing to do with you. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ, yani their affairs with Allah, yani it goes back to Allah, will be returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to judge between them. ثُمَّ يُنَبِّيهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ, and then he will inform them of that which they used to do. Surah Al-A'am, 6 Surah, 159th Ayat. I want to look at the tafsir a little bit of this, but let me just finish this part so that we at least finish the section that we want to read today. إذن, the Shaykh says, after this ayah he said, إذن, لا حاجة لنا إلى التطويل بتعريف أهل السنة والجماعة. So there is no need for us to make a long, lengthy explanation, تعريف, definition of what is أهل السنة والجماعة. لأن هذا اللقب, this title, يبرحن, يعني makes clear, clearly expresses, it proves, it demonstrates the meaning, يبرحن على معناه برهانا كاملا, يعني it expresses clearly the meaning, the expression itself, أهل السنة والجماعة, it makes clear, demonstrates, it proves what is the meaning, يعني with a clear proof, وأنهم, يعني and that they are the متمسكون بالسنة مجتمعون عليها, يعني the أهل السنة والجماعة, they are who? المتمسكون بالسنة, the people who hold fast, cling to the sunnah, المجتمعون عليها, and those who gather upon the sunnah, يعني they unite with one another upon the sunnah. ونحن نلخص الكلام في نقاط رئيسي وهي, and then the Shaykh says, and we're going to summarize the main points of the منهج of the أهل السنة والجماعة in the following points, and then he mentions 7 points. Before, يعني we close, though, I just want to read the tafsir of the ayat that the Shaykh mentioned here before he closes out his introduction and starts with the 7 points from the manhaj of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The Shaykh, he mentioned this ayat that verily those who farraqa deenahum, who separated, divided up their religion, and they were sects and parties, you have nothing to do with them and they have nothing to do with you, indeed their affair is to Allah, and then Allah will inform them of what they do. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, in his tafsir of this ayat, he says, Allah is warning those who have separated, divided up their deen, yani who have scattered it and separated it into sects. Is that there?
That was on my phone.
Oh, phone? He said, Allah is warning them. He's warning these people. وَكُلٌّ أَخَذَ لِنَفْسِهِ نَصِيبًا مِنَ الْأَسْمَاءِ. And we're just going to take 2 minutes or 3 minutes, yani, to just close out yani, this final yani, point. Our topic, أهل السنة والجماعة, yani, the منهاج, the methodology, the tariqa, the way, the road, the path, the methodology of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And the Shaykh, he closes his introduction to what he's going to say about this manhaj. Yani, the manhaj that we need to know for ourselves individually, for our families, for our communities. We need to know it so that we can follow this road, so that we can be on this path, going step by step, yani, with the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He closed with this ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning those who divide up their religion, who become sects and parties, every group, and rejoice in it with what is with it. I'm saying, let's look at ourselves, okay, let's don't go far. While I'm reading this tafsir, I want you to think about our own situation, not somebody else, not some other group of people, some other country. Let's look at our own situation and ourselves. The Shaykh said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَتَوَعَدُوا الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ. Allah is threatening the people who separate, who divide up their religion. Every one of them taking for himself nasiban min al-asma, taking one of these, the names that they have given to themselves to separate themselves into a separate distinct group from other people. Asma allati la tufidu al-insan fi dinihi shay'an. Yani names that these people have taken which will not benefit them in their deen in any way whatsoever. Kal-yahudiyya wa nasraniyya wa majusiyya. These people who was prophets and messengers were sent to them with the deen of Allah, deen of Islam, and then they took a name. They separated themselves and made a new religion, split it up into something else, and they named themselves Yahudi, Nasrani, Majusi. That's those people. Then the Shaykh says, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, أَوْ لَا يُكْمِلْ بِهَا إِمَانُهُ. Or they have taken some names and titles through which they do not complete and perfect their deen. Yani it's not like they took something that is perfecting the affair. Yani completing the affair. بِأَنْ يَأْخُذَ مِنَ الشَّرِيَةِ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلْهُ دِينَهُ. Take something from the Sharia, some part of it that he likes, whatever it is, as the Sufiya did, as the Khawarij did, as different people did. They took something from the deen and they emphasized that. That's it. This is our deen. Something from the Sharia, they made it their deen, and they left something else that's similar to it or equal to it. Or that which has more right to be taken hold of than that which they have taken. They left it. Like as this is the condition of the Ahlu al-Furqa, the people of separation. I mean the Ahlul Bidah, innovation, with dalal, misguidance. Al-Mutafarriqeen lil-Ummah, those who divide up the Ummah. This is what they have done. And then the Shaykh, he says, yani meaning that the other people in the other religions who prophets were sent to, they took names and they made a new deen for themselves. And the people from amongst the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they have also taken something from the deen of Allah, from the sharia of Allah. They made that their deen and they have abandoned something else that's equal to it or something else that's even more important than it. And this is the condition, he said, of the people of separation, people of division, the people of innovation and misguidance who divide up the ummah. And then the Shaykh, he says, وَدَلَّتَ الْآيَةِ الْكَرِيمَةِ أَنَّ الدِّينَ يَعْمُرْ بِالْإِجْتِمَاعِ وَالْإِعْتِلَافِ وَيَنْهَى عَنَ التَّفَرُّقِ وَالْإِخْتِلَافِ فِي أَصْلُ الدِّينِ. And in the printing of this tafsir, it says أَهْلُ الدِّينِ. It's a mistake. It should be أَصْلُ الدِّينِ. That this noble ayat indicates that the deen of Islam commands the people with ijtima' and i'tilaf, and it prohibits the people from tafarruq wal ikhtilaf. Yani we are commanded with uniting together and being in agreement upon the truth, and we are prohibited from splitting from one another and differing upon the truth. That in the asul of the deen, yani in the foundation of the deen, we are ordered to unite and to agree upon the foundation of the deen, that is the tawheed. And we are prohibited from splitting and differing upon the asluddin. وَفِي سَعْرِ مَسَائِلِهِ الْأُصُولِيَّ وَفُرُوعِيَّ. And we are also ordered to unite and to agree. And we are prohibited from splitting and differing in the other masail, usuliyya and furu'iyya, fundamentals of the deen or the branches of the deen, meaning the aqidah and the ibadah. We are also prohibited from splitting and differing over the fundamentals of the deen as well as the branches of the deen. Rather, we are commanded to unite upon the sunnah and to be in agreement upon the sunnah when the proof is brought to us. And then the Shaykh closes by saying, وَأَمَرَهُ أَنْ يَتَبَرَّ مِنْ مَنْ فَرَّقَ دِينُهُمْ. And then Allah ordered the Prophet to declare himself free of those who divide up the deen by saying, لَسْتَ مِنْهُمْ. You have nothing to do with them. Yani lasta minhum wa laysu minka. You are not from them, nor are they from you. لأنهم خالفوك وعاندوك. Because they have opposed you and they have stubbornly resisted what you have called them to. إنما أمرهم إلى الله. Yani they will return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He will recompense them for their deeds. Yani ثم ينبئهم بما كانوا يفعلون. Allah will inform them of what they used to do and He will yani reward them, yani good for good and evil for evil. And this is what we're going to stop with tonight. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I hope that we pay attention to this tafsir, yani looking at our own selves, looking at our own situation, in our own circumstance. Before we leave, brothers and sisters, let me not forget the masjid. Yani, we have bills to pay. We need soap to put in the brothers' and the sisters' bathroom. Soap. Yani, in the brothers' and the sisters' also. Let's not forget about the sisters' bathroom. And they need tissue, and they need paper towels and stuff like that. So please, yani, try as best you can to give whatever you can according to your ability. Yani, and sadaqah doesn't decrease your wealth, right? Naam, and humbling yourself for the sake of Allah doesn't decrease you. Rather, Allah increases you in honor and in dignity. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakum Allahu khayra.